Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shiur. This evening, we will speak about a topic related both to Parshas Vayakel, this week's Parsha, as well as Parshas Shkalim, which is also the first of the Arba Parshos that begins this week. And we're going to speak about a topic that I'm very excited to speak about. I'm actually, you'll see, experiencing this concept in real time as I teach it. And that is the electric pulse that one can sense when Klal Yisrael is working together towards a common goal. And we're going to start and really narrow in with the Parsha and speak a little bit more about the mitzvah of tzedakah in particular. But we'll focus on this concept that when Klal Yisrael is doing, let's say, a quote-unquote group project together, it's one of the most powerful things ever made. So here we go. So Moshe lists all of the necessary materials that they were going to need to make the Mishkan. Now that's Pasuk Dalet. Truma LaHashem. Kol Nediv Liba. Anyone who wants to donate to the Mishkan, Yivyeh as Truma LaHashem Zohav VeChesef VeNechoshes. Right. So what would you expect the response of Klal Yisrael to be if you make an appeal? Right? What would you say, Howie? Make an appeal. We need some gold. We need some...
Give us an offer and appeal.
Oh, wait. Appeal versus what?
An offer.
Very good. So was Moshe making an appeal or an offer?
I thought you were talking about us.
All right. Now again, if anyone can't cut the tension in the room right now, Howie and I are negotiating terms if I will be a coach in Yavne Youth League for Noam Mandelson's Little League team this summer. This spring, now we've had some texts that have not been answered by me, and Howie has still come to the show this evening. To his credit, it's been a busy week, Howie. I apologize, but just in case anyone wants to know what's really going on between me and Howie this evening, there's a serious amount of beef here. All right, Howie, we'll talk about this later. All right. Anyway, but back to the sheer topic. Hold the phone. So the idea is like this: I would say cynically, when you say we need money. So, I got a lot of bills, taxes, and a tuition crisis. Rabbi, calm down. But what happens? Far from that. Skipping to Pasuk Chaf from Pasuk Hey, Vayetzu kol Adat b'nei Yisrael. They all got out, Milifnei Moshe. They left. Vayavou kol Ish Asher Nesu Libo. Everyone whose heart lifted him up, whose spirit inspired him to give, they donated towards the Mishkan, towards the Big Day Kahuna, and there was this response that was, again, almost electric. Moshe needs stuff. Hashem wants donations. We're in. And there was this communal response. Let's donate. Let's get involved. Vanisim. Hey, view as Avin HaShoam. And what did the Nesim, the princes, donate? The precious stones that go on the Kohen Gadol's shoulders. That's Avin HaMiluim La'efod V'Lachoshin. Okay, now let's learn a little bit of commentary on what was going on over here. Says the Or HaChaim, Perish Yetsu Kulam Ke'achad. They all left Bezrizus with an excitement. La'havi V'lo Hayabem Echad Shiniz Akev Mechaveru. Not one person was held up by his friend. There was no negative influence. Like, come on, what are you getting? $18, maybe. Come on, like Moshe's exaggerating. We'll let the other guys donate. No, everyone was involved. And if you fast forward to the next perek, Vayikhu milifnei Moshe's kol atruma. They gathered everything that had been donated. They brought it to Moshe every morning. There were more donations being received. And the people who actually knew how to put together the materials, the weaving, the carpentry, whatever, they all were able to do their expertise. The nation has brought so much. We have more than we need to perform the malacha to build the Mishkan. And you know what? Moshe had to say what? What did Moshe have to do? Vayitzav Moshe v'aviru kol b'machaneh. He let out a big, great call. And what did he say? Ish v'ishash al yaseh od. Don't, we're good. No more donations, please. They stopped. And here's the funny pasuk. The malacha, how he said, dayam l'chol malacha la'asot otay. Was it sufficient? It was enough? V'hoter. And it was extra. Let's figure out the tension there. But like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Ramban in Perek Lamed Vav says, the Torah goes out of its way to say that the nation brought so much. L'shabeach es ha'am. To praise the nation. Ha'mevim benidvatam. That we deserve the pat on the back because we donated so generously. L'fayer ha'chachamim b'nei emunah sam. And the people who are working deserve the credits. V'gam ha'nagid aleihem meshubach. And the leader, Shevir Kobamach Nalemanam, the one who stopped them should also get credit. So the donors get credit, the people who worked get credit, the leader got credit. Okay, beautiful. So again, like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Ramban is saying that Klal Yisrael really deserve like a two thumbs up here. They stepped up to the plate. Unbelievable idea. Beautiful. And you know what the Or HaChaim says? It's an amazing idea. Well, could anyone try to resolve that inherent contradiction? If it was enough, was it extra? And if it was extra, was it enough? Is that a contradiction? Right, it is. Meaning, what does it mean to be enough? It means you have just enough. And what does it mean to have extra? It means you don't have just enough. You have extra. You have more than enough, right?
It's like my mother and grandmother. If I make just enough and it's just all eaten, that means that someone didn't have what to eat. So you always have to have that.
You say, if you finish everything, that means if there would have been more, we would have used that also.
Yeah.
So really, when you have just enough, by definition, that's not enough. Because if we would have had more, that also undoubtedly would have been used towards the cause. Oh, I love that answer. Good. Very good. So what's the Or HaChaim teaching? So Or HaChaim asked this question, and I love this Or HaChaim. I only know this Or HaChaim because of, dare I say, one of the most underrated Sfarim ever, the Stone Chumash. Stone Chumash, again, you can't say enough good things. Everyone knows it as like the blue Chumash in Shul. You follow along during the laning. The footnotes in the Stone Chumash, dynamite. Dynamite. So the Or HaChaim is quoted in the Stone Chumash. Here's the Or HaChaim inside. So he says, you know what the Torah is saying? Chibat b'nei Yisrael b'enei ha'makom. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael so much. They brought so much, more than we needed. Hashem didn't want to insult anybody. Imagine trying to make a donation to the Mishkan and Hashem saying, so sorry, we don't really need you. We don't really need you. That would not be respectful towards Klal Yisrael. And therefore, what happened? They brought everything. And what the Torah means to tell us is that although, technically speaking, there was extra, everything was used, al yedei nes, says the Or HaChaim, by laws of nature, not everything should have been used. Way too many things were donated. We only needed X amount of gold, silver, copper, and you know what? We had more than that, and everything was put to good use somehow by a miracle. Wow. That's it. So there was nothing extra. There was nothing extra because everything that a Jew donated was used. All right? Have a nice day there? It's over. All right. So what we're learning over here is that there's this concept in the Parsha that Klal Yisrael stepped up and used their kochos to donate, and the Torah praises them to teach us there's a zrizus, there is a midah to learn, and so much so that the Torah wants to praise us, and so much so that according to the Or HaChaim, Hashem made a miracle as to not turn them down. And obviously for our own Avodas Hashem, we have to think about, are we contributing our part in Klal Yisrael? Are we joining in on the fun? Or on the communal effort? On the war front? Because who didn't join in on the effort? What did we say before? What did the Nesiim donate? The Avanim, the precious jewels. Now, would that sound like a very nice donation? That's probably the most expensive contribution, right? The Amnei Shom, the Amnei Milum, right? What a Chazal, the Avos Derbi Nasan, right? It's like a Pirkei Avos work. Rashi quotes it in this week's Parsha. How do you spell Nesiim? Usually with a Yud or two. And Amar Rabbi Nasan, Ma Ro HaNesiim Lis Nadev B'Chanukah Zem Mishkan B'Tchila. If you fast forward, when the Mishkan is actually inaugurated, when everyone brings Korbanos, etc., the Nesiim go first. They need to donate first. You know why? They need to make up for what they did in this week's Parsha. What happened in this week's Parsha? They did not donate first. You know what they said? Yisnavdu tzibur Masha Misnavdin. Let the regular community donate. You know, we'll say the average income Jews, eh, Peter? Let them donate. Umasha Machasrin, and whatever they lack, Anu Mashlimin. We'll fill in. We'll fill in. You know, we're the high rollers. We're the wealthy. So whatever the Hamonam can't donate, we'll fill what we're, you know, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky Shlita, when our fundraisers, you know, NCSY, whatever, he says, you need a Mariano. So what's Pshat? You need a Mariano. How he said, what's Pshat? That's it. So Mariano Rivera was the best closer in MLB history, except for 2001. Whatever, Rahmano, it's one of the worst nights of my life, by the way. I'm watching that game in Arizona. I'm watching. And then he blew the save. Oh, such a painful, like, ay. Ay. Someone made a bar mitzvah that night. And you've spoken to him since.
The guy at my table had a Sony watch.
Yeah.
TV under the table yelling.
I have so many memories of that game. And you know what happened? My sister-in-law, Alana, you know, I married a Goldman's, married a Jonathan Gottfried from Arizona. So, you know, he's my brother-in-law. I like him and all. Until, like, 5 years into my marriage, I found out he was at Game 7 in Arizona. We haven't spoken since, like, a good 5 years. I was like, you watched that happen? Anyway, so what do you need a Mariano for? You need a Mariano. So you need a Mariano to close. So you see, like, we'll be Mariano, right? When you need a closer who secretly could donate, you know, $70,000, just call on us, right? So, but what happened? What happened? Didn't work out. We didn't need Mariano. Why not? Because the middle reliever, so to speak, were good enough. So says Rashi, the Tzibor did everything. There was nothing left to do. There was nothing left to do. So, you know, they felt so badly, they made up their own thing. They're like, oh, let's donate some stones, some precious gems, you know? Yeah, not a bad thing. But they had to kind of, like, figure out their own donation here. But they were lazy. Well, the Fishan is atzlut chil, because they delayed, they were lazy in the original joining in Klal Yisrael, nechseru os mishmam. A letter was omitted, deleted from their name in the spelling, at least in this week's Parsha, and it was the nisi'im, only one yud, as opposed to the regular two. Unbelievable, avos Rebbe Nosson. And let's use that as a springboard to point out that Klal Yisrael is an energy. It's a special koach. And you know what? It's up to you whether you want to join in or not. Join in or not. It's up to you. Up to you. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Why do you say Klal Yisrael is special?
What do you mean? As opposed to what?
As opposed to any other group that could be sitting.
Okay, now, right, now Howie's pointing out.
Teamwork's energy.
Okay, all right. Howie's pointing out that if you remember what else happened in 2001, the World Trade Center was destroyed. And you know what happened? Every American stepped up, and there was an energy in New York. I grew up in Queens. I was, like, really proud to be an American. Like, everyone was awesome. You know, again, was there also some fraudulent stuff? Yeah, but Pete, you're right. Howie's pointing out that it might not be limited to the koach of Klal Yisrael, because teamwork is teamwork. I'm not saying you're wrong. At the same time, the Torah here is focusing on our own ability. And again, you're right. We can, again, really broaden that to say, you know, maybe even when we partner with others from beyond our own community, we're even stronger. And again, not so long ago, we gave a shiur on foreign alliances, stuff like that. You know, there's no question that there's truth to what you're saying. However, there's also no question about the fact that, yes, when it comes to Klal Yisrael as a community of our own, there's an energy. Okay. All right. So where else can we point this out? Not only in Parshas Vayakel, but in what we're going to lay in the Shabbos, Parshas Shkalim. What does the Mishnah Maseches Megillah say? What happened on Rosh Chodesh Adar? So this Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Shchalios B'Shabbos, according to Parshas Shkalim, we're going to read Parshas Shkalim. If it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, not on Shabbos, but during the week, so we read Parshas Shkalim the Shabbos before, namely Rosh Chodesh Adar is this coming, Sunday and Monday. Therefore, we will be laying Parshas Shkalim this Shabbos. And the question is, why in the blazes are we talking about the Machatzis HaShekel on Rosh Chodesh Adar? What in the world is the connection? Says the Halakha Gemara Maseches Megillah, quoting, I guess, the Mishnah and Shkalim, right? Amar Rabbi Tavi, Amar Rabbi Yoshia. Well, the Torah says, Zos Olas Chodesh B'Chod Shod. There's a concept of having, like, a new Ola in a new month. And what that means is that starting with Nisan, the communal funds that funded the Korbanos at Tzibur needed to be new. So you know what used to happen? That when We needed to arrive at Nisan having already collected new communal funds. So when did we do that? V'karinan be'echa ba'adar. They would make this massive proclamation on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Everyone, donate your machatzis a shekel. It was like an annual tax, an annual obligation to fund the communal tzibur. So literally, in the same vein of Vayakel, when Klal Yisrael were joining together for this communal fund, this communal effort, so too, that's what the machatzis a shekel, Parsha Shkolim, is all about. And the Rambam brings down, Be'echa ba'adar mashmim al shkolim, we make an announcement on Rosh Chodesh Adar, donate your machatzis a shekel, so everyone could give. And on the 15th of Adar, then it gets a little bit more intense. You know, we set up the people to collect it, and we gently remind people, have you given your machatzis a shekel? Yet, you know, we made an announcement 2 weeks ago, and if they gave, great. What if they didn't give? All right, we're still calm. Still calm. What happens when you don't pay that bill like three times, you know, and that collection agency comes after you, right? Then it gets like a little bit of like a dirty tone, right? So says the Rambam. On the 25th of Adar, they were sitting in the base of Migdash waiting for your machatzis a shekel. What if you didn't give it by the 25th? Got a little bit more intense. Velokin avuto bar korcho. They would, let's just say they would take what you had as an intense donation. Lowell knows about this, a busy season. You know, if you don't pay your taxes on time, you know, Lowell will find you. So, all right, so either way, so again, obviously, ideally, we would want to donate peacefully a machatzis shekel on time, but the halacha is screaming at us like, you have to do this. Like, you're part of Klal Yisrael. Where's your contribution? And if you don't make your machatzis shekel donation, like, we will find you. Yikes. So this is brought out in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, exactly what we do this week's parsha. And again, the Mishnah Berurah explains that we're remembering what they used to do on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Beautiful. And he's just paraphrasing everything we just learn to, you know, fund the Korban Tamid for the whole year. That's the Mishnah Berurah over there. And the Mishnah Berurah just ends that obviously we can't do this anymore. So we have a concept of, if we can't bring Korbanos, at least we say them. V'anu mishalim and parim sifseinu b'kriyas ha'parsha. So if we can't do the real thing, at least we can read the Torah, the Psukim, about it, and that will be as if we did it. Now, parenthetically, I just wanted to point out, the Mishnah Berurah points out, what if you really messed this up and did all of these things in the wrong Adar? Like in this year, imagine if you would have done Shkalim Adar Aleph, and you'd have done the four parashos, and you would have done, or at least the Shkalim one, and you would have lain the Megillah in Adar Aleph, Adar Rishon. So you would have to read the Megillah again in the second Adar, but you would not have to repeat Shkalim. That's the Mishnah Berurah. That you don't really need to go back on Shkalim, but if you read Megillah's Esther on the wrong Purim, on Purim Katan, that's not acceptable. But Shkalim on, you know, a Shkalim Katan, so to speak, would be acceptable. Okay, now this is very beautiful. And in fact, the Sfas Emes, believe it or not, says the whole reason why we have Simcha in Adar is because of this. Really? What does Gemara Taina say? We always know Misha Nichnas Adar Marbe Misimcha. What's the full sentence though? Says Rav, Kishem Shem Misha Nichnas Av Mematin Besimcha. Just like when the month of Av trickles in, we have to diminish the Simcha. Kach, so too Misha Nichnas Adar Marbe Misimcha. So says Rashi, why are we happy? These are days of miracles, Purim and Pesach, right? So that's why we celebrate maybe the second Adar, being that it's juxtaposed, it's up against Nisan, right? Because we're celebrating the onset of the miracle season, culminating with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Beautiful. But the Sfas Emes says, listen, I love Rashi and all, and I would never dare disagree with him. However, it seems to me, says the Sfas Emes, that the Gemara rather, in its full sentence, has a comparison between Av and Adar. And why are we not happy in Av? Because obviously we lost the base of Migdash. So why are we happy in Adar? Says the Sfas Emes, that's when we would start to collect for the Korbanos. That's when we had a connection to the base of Migdash. Wow. Since Klal Yisrael were happy to accept this donation, the Simcha of Adar, says the Sfas Emes, ain't got nothing to do with Purim. Do you know why we have Simcha in Adar? It's the Simcha of Klal Yisrael donating to the Mishkan. donating to the Beis HaMikdash. I got to give a malchus as a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. I got to contribute. That's pretty crazy, no? Is that an amazing idea? Is that an amazing? I have to tell you something. So I'll tell you why I'm living this right now. I'm zocha to be involved with communal Klal Yisrael work. And I often get to see this stuff. I get to see people who are really, really, really happy just to help people. I can't read you the text message. But just this week, I was involved with a certain project. And I was trying to understand what someone was trying to tell me. Let's just say there was a donation, quote unquote, needed. And someone made a reference about how he would cover it. And it was a fairly large sum of money. And I wasn't really understanding what he had written in his text message. And he called me and he's like, let me make this clear. You have an open check. Go. I'm like, okay. like, really happy I know you. And again, story after story. I like that. People really happy to help. I can't say too many stories like that, but I've been zocha to see people reach out and say, where can I help? How can I help? How much can I help with? Show me who, show me where, show me when. Boom, done. And that's pretty amazing. And then on a more, we'll say subtle level, but just as generous, I love in TABC every week we have a Friday night oneg. And what that means is like 80 boys can just like completely trash your home. You know, like jumping up and down. You know, we have special chairs with the rubber protective on the bottom so not to scratch the floors. I learned that the hard way. And ultimately, parents love it. We want to host an oneg. We want it. And I remember this Shabbos, so I won't be around. It'll be, it's called the South Hasidic Shabbaton. We had a Fairlawn Shabbaton. Obviously, this all starts with the Yudins, right? Who taught Klal Yisrael how to be like this? The Yudins, they host 15 TABC guys every year. You know, not that the TABC board is like, we could just go to the Yudins' house. I'm like, trust me, it's fine. They're like, 15 of us? I'm like, trust me, it's fine. And community after community after community, the people just want to help. They just want to help. Like, oh, you need a place? Let me help you. You need I'll do this, I'll do that. It's unbelievable.
I forgot where this Shabbos. Separated groups, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, I think it was a Medrash, I'm sorry. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Shekhalim first.
Very good. It's a Gemara. That my Shekhal was Makdim your Shekhal. Very good. That's in McGill. Very good, very good. Adam, very good, very good. So we have to say that's Shekhal in the Gemara. What does that mean, that my Shekhal was Makdim your Shekhal? That was. Oh, you were saying someone probably touched like a Gemara to say something along the lines that the chesed of Klal Yisrael saved them, something like that. How would that sound like a Mefarish Gemara? There's a Mefarish Gemara that says Hashem Shekel was Makdim Haman Shekel, or whatever. But you probably read a beautiful word from like the VBM, that says something like that. Very, very nice. Adam, love it. Okay. So let's talk a little bit halacha now with that background, because there's a real halacha here. Number one, the Rambam in Beis HaBechir, which is the way we basically practice Parshas Vayakel, where we actually built the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Rambam, Beis HaBechir, Aleph Yud Aleph, U'mitzvah min ha-mufchor, the best mitzvah is l'chazek es ha-binyan, u'la'gbio kifi koach ha-tzibur. You want to make the Beis HaMikdash beautiful? Give as much as you can. Klal Yisrael, we are open. Torah says, v'romim es Beis Elokeinu, in Ezra. U'mefarnaso, u'meyafin kifi kochan. You make the Beis HaMikdash as beautiful as you can. If you can plaster it all with zahav, with gold, great. You want to make it as beautiful as you want to decorate the whole thing with gold? Great. What's the source for this? Says the Kesef Mishnah. You know what the source for this is? Pashut hu. This is obvious. Meaning in the same way the Klal Yisrael donated everything that they could. And the Orach Chaim says that miraculously Hashem made it all fit. So you know what the Rambam is saying? We don't turn down our donation to the Beis HaMikdash. You want to make a donation? We want your donation. Your contribution to the Beis HaMikdash will be put to good use. Beautiful. Now, again, b'derech drush, you could obviously, everyone has what to contribute. But on b'derech halacha, like, yes, every penny will help and make it more beautiful. Unbelievable. Okay. The only thing is, there is a limit to tzedakah, right? Is there a problem if you've gone too far? All right, now we're like getting all fired up to give, right? What if you get too excited to give? Like, I give you this, beautiful, shear, and you want to go home and, write, a massive, no, right? You can't do that. Why not? What's the halakha? When you're not allowed to give more than what? 20%. You can't give a little more than a fifth. Amar b'yilabish usha hitkinu. Megmaris m'seches k'shuvas unamalaf. In the town of Usha, they made a takana, a law. Hamavazbez, if you're going to spend seemingly in a big way, ay vazbez yoseh mechomesh. Don't give more than a fifth, 20% of your money. Tanya namehachi. Hamavazbez, ay vazbez yoseh mechomesh. Why? What happens if you give too much? Shemi tzarech lebrios. You're going to end up needing stucca yourself. That's not wise. And there was a story where one person wanted to give stucca, and his friend did not allow him to give it. Machlokus, who was it? Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Sheva, very machlokus, exactly who it was. You know, but ultimately, one of the Tanaim wanted to give too much stucca, and to Aniyim, Rashi explains, he wanted to give a lot of stucca, and you can't, because if you give more than a fifth, you're gonna need to collect stucca yourself. But there's another Gemara that says that Mar Ukva was on his deathbed, and you know what? He wanted to look into his own personal, you know, records. And when he was on his deathbed, he looked and he said he did not give enough stucca. So you know what he said? He said, write a certain amount of money. You know, how much? Half. 50% of all of his money. And the Gemara says, how could he have done such a thing? Rabbi Lai made a rule in Usha that you're not allowed to give more than a fifth. And he give half? So what do you think the answer is? This is different. Why? Because he's dying. La'achar Misa, there's no issue. Meaning, once you die, there's no issues. Because he was on his deathbed, so he gave 50% off. Now, this, by the way, is real halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says, how much sukkah should you give? If you can afford it, yitain kifitzorech ha'aniyim. That's a very, very large amount of money. Give whatever the aniyim need. What do you think aniyim need? Aniyim. There are a lot of them, and there are a lot of needs. So imagine if you have a lot of money, and 20% of your money will still give you a crazy amount of money. So the Shulchan Aruch does not put a limit on it. But who does? The Rama. The Rama writes right there in Yor Dei Reish Mitzvah Aleph, whereas the Shulchan Aruch said, give whatever the Aniyim need if you can afford it. Now, he did say if you can afford it. I have to qualify. He says, if you can't afford to give everything, then give up to a fifth. Give up to a fifth. But the Shulchan Aruch is basically giving you the green light to give as much as you can if you can afford it. The Rama, though, says, no. The Ali Vazbez Adam Yosef Mechomish. Do not give more than a fifth. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. And he says, well, listen, the Gemara really seems to say that it's usher, because what did they say to Mar Ukva on his death? They said, how can you do this? And says Rav Moshe, they never would have asked him if it wasn't usher. Meaning, by asking, how could you do this, that implies that it's usher. Meaning, you're doing something that's wrong. Otherwise, they would not have posed such a question. And the Rav Moshe says, well, if you look really closely at the Rambam, he doesn't really bring this down. Yeah, at least the Hilchos Tzedakah, so maybe the Rambam doesn't really hold like it. And the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch, he really seems to say, give as much as you want, even more than a fifth, as we just learned. And the Ramah is Machmer. You know what Ramosh he paskins? He says, Al kol panim lemaisa ein levazvez yosem mechomesh im lo lachashash pikuach nefesh. OMG. So an Ashkenazi follower of the Ramah, not Ramosh Isserles, but Ramosh Feinstein, says, unless it's life and death, do not give more than a fifth of your money. Whoa.
That's a lucka, but if you're
a
fabulously wealthy guy, person, you know, and you've got millions
and millions of money. So I think my understanding is that Rav Schechter is more Mekel than Ramosha Feinstein. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to look into it, but our own Yosef Adler was telling me that Rav Schechter considers himself what's called an Usher Muflug. Rav Schechter considers himself to be beyond exceedingly wealthy, Rav Schechter, and therefore he thinks for his own income it's okay to give more than 20%. Now, again, what's proud of that? I don't know. I didn't read enough of Rav Schechter's own writings on the matter, but you have to understand that's like a, you know, it's funny. I don't know exactly what Rav Schechter meant by that, but apparently he is more lenient than Rav Feinstein, Moshe Feinstein. I don't unfortunately remember.
Do they define what income is?
What?
Do they define exactly what income is?
Yes, Rav Moshe in that tshuva actually is defining what income is. Like, for example, from an accountant on busy season, like taxes, right? You don't have to give 10% to tzedakah pre-tax, meaning because you don't end up keeping all the money, right? So post-taxes, what you have left that you actually get to keep, right? So believe it or not, Ramosha has a whole, that the whole tshuva is defining what is your income. And that's exactly, he has a little piece at the end of the tshuva, what we focused on. But yeah, we can go more into detail and another time maybe. How do you define income? What do you have to give tzedakah from? There are different types of taxes. But he says your income tax does not count as your own money, and you don't have to give 10% of that because you don't get to keep the money. All right. But it's very important to note that the Rambam, in his own Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, which is another way of saying Hilchos Tzedakah, gives very clear a very clear distinction between the mitzvah on the yachid and the mitzvah on the rabbim. In Perek Zion, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah said to give tzedakah to the aniyim. That's what the Torah says. If you could, you know, if you could afford it, Torah says pesach tiftach. You have to open your hand, and that's what you have to do. And many psukim say they have to give tzedakah. And if you see a person who needs tzedakah and you close your eyes and you don't give, it's a lo sa'aseh. Years ago we gave a shiur on when are you allowed to say no, and when can you be a little bit quote unquote cautious or skeptical? Can you ask for, you know, a tu'udah to prove that the person's sincere when they're collecting? It's for another time. But the Rambam there is clearly talking about the individual's obligation to give tzedakah. Fast forward two prakim later in the Rambam's Matan Rasanim Perek Tesh, and he writes about the communal obligation to give tzedakah. Kol ir sheyesh b'Yisrael, any Jewish community, chayavin lahamid mehen gabet tzedakah. They are obligated to have a gabet tzedakah, people who are trustworthy and known, that they will go around every Erev Shabbos to take from everyone what they really should be contributing to the communal funds. So how, we asked a great question before, can we just call it teamwork? Why is it so unique to the Jewish people? And I would say like this, you're right. When the non-Jews get together and act like a team, it's great. But you could almost guarantee that in every Jewish community there will be a place for you to eat for Shabbos if you need a meal. And we have each other's backs. And that's what it is. We're a community. Now again, there are other communities in the world. But we, by definition, are a community. And if someone's sleeping in Fairland for Shabbos because they need to walk to the, you know, the hospital, the nursing home, you know, they'll get 1,000 invites the second they are spotted in shul. You know, and that happens. And again, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin could just say story after story about the people he's literally taken into his home to live there. So what's interesting, though, and Rabbi Elliot Schreier made this very clear, and when he spoke at the Project Ezra dinner, was that every community needs a Project Ezra. Because, you know, what do? They basically just, they're the address for the communal needs, right? I love that. And Project Ezra is amazing. And essentially, what they do is they fulfill this Rambam. And you have what's called Tomchei Shabbos, where the community is saying, you're not alone. You will never be viewed as an individual when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah. And every shul will have a rabbi's discretionary fund. And by definition, the community will have your back. By definition, it's a halacha. And the community knows how to take care of its own members. So beautiful idea. And I need to tell you something. I'm really experiencing this myself on many levels. And certainly with the war in Israel, we'll relate it in the last 2 minutes to the war. And when it comes to the holiday of Purim. My buddy, my Talmid, Jacob Lehrer, is a chayal in Sahal. Grew up in Tinek, made aliyah with his family. He made aliyah when he went to Israel for the year. But they were in the Romer community, if I'm not mistaken. And he gave a fiery schmooze to the TABC student body today, where he basically said everyone needs to do their part. Everyone. And he was encouraging the boys to think about how they can make their own contributions to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs you right now. And he basically stood up and said, when you live in Israel, you know that Klal Yisrael needs you. You know it. And if you're in TABC, you might not feel that, but it's just as true. And there's actually a initiative that he started where he wants everyone to ask themselves and fill out on a Google form, how can I help Klal Yisrael? And he wrote a little bit of a fiery article a couple of weeks ago basically saying, here's how you can help Klal Yisrael. And again, he's not doing it in a chasrim condescending tone. He's very much an inspiring tone. But it's also serious because he's saying, I guarantee you Klal Yisrael needs your help right now. I guarantee it. If you donate to the Beis HaMikdash, we will accept it. If you help Klal Yisrael, we will need it. And just think about all the ways we have done this in the past months, unfortunately. Do you know how many duffel bags have been sent from Bergen County alone to Eretz Yisrael? Do you know how many? Do you know how many duffel bags have been loaded? Do you know how many dollars have come out of Bergen County into Israel? You have any idea the chesed that has come out of our own communities? It is mind-boggling to see just factories, people who leave their jobs to say, listen, I got to go get boots. I got to pack boots. You know, chayalim need me. Chayalim need me. People paying for other people's plane tickets. It's the way we step up when there's a communal need is so exciting to watch. It is so cool. And who did this personally? Esther Amalka. And you know what? Someone asked Jacob Lehrer today, when did you learn to live like Klal Yisrael? And you know what he said? Shana Bet, I had an aha moment, and it was all from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's article about Esther. And you guess what's on the Mar Makomo sheet? I started this year before Jacob Lehrer's speech, and I finished preparing this year after Jacob Lehrer's speech. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, if you remain silent at this time, concerned for the Jewish people, it is now that the young, passive, powerless Esther faces her moment of truth. And she prevails. She passes the test. It is now that she rises to her full stature and reveals herself, not just in title but in essence, as a queen. At this moment, Esther realizes that what is at stake is not just a private matter involving Mordechai. She realizes that the dimensions of the threat, the potential tragedy looming over the whole Am Yisrael, including herself. She's no longer the anonymous Esther. She is prepared to reveal herself, to identify herself openly. She's ready to contribute and to stand together with her nation. This Esther understands that her fate and destiny are not a private personal matter, but rather bound up with those of the nation as a whole. And when the danger and the mission are public, then the course of action too will of necessity be a public one. Go and gather all the Jews. Chevra, we should be inspired by the chesed of Esther, by the chesed of Klal Yisrael, by the chesed of Klal Yisrael and Parshas Vayakel and Parshas Shkalim. And we shouldn't sit back, chas v'shalom, like the Nesiim. We should join in and be active members, excited, inspired members on whatever level we can be and contribute whatever way we can. Let's daven Marv.